This is a Federal News Network podcast.
From modeling airflows aboard medical evacuation aircraft to simulating vaccine candidates, DOD's supercomputing resources are being brought to bear on the coronavirus pandemic. Several of the department's supercomputers are involved in various aspects of COVID-19 response. To learn more about them, Federal News Network's Jared Serbu spoke with Dr. Will McMahon, director of DOD's High Performance Computing Modernization Program, and Dr. Kevin Neumeyer, the deputy director. McMahon speaks first.
One of the main issues or things that was applied to this is the computer code Kestrel that does aerodynamics, but it is set up. It's a physics-based code that's set up to work this exact type of problem, although droplets in the air are not really a military problem, but it's still, since it's physics-based, it has a very wide application. So thinking the cargo bay and the crew compartment of the aircraft, where you actually have to break this problem down into very small spatial pieces, let's say, you know, one-inch cubes and model the whole aircraft with one-inch cubes. And then you have to step through the problem very slowly so that you can get a not only a spatial but a temporal in-time view of what's going on. The code steps through time with this huge number of computational cells. And the power of supercomputing is that you can actually take this problem and break it up into little pieces and send it to individual processors. So if this is just an example. These time frames aren't accurate. I'm using it just to demonstrate the supercomputing application. But if it took an hour on 10 processors, if you broke the problem up and put it on 1,000 processors, then you would reduce the time it took to do that calculation down to 1/100th of the time it takes to do the problem. That allows you to do much more many problems in time so that you can get parameter studies done. And so you can look at different concepts of how many patients, where they're placed in the aircraft, how close they are to various parts of the ventilation system, and get a really good view of, let decision makers get a view of how this problem might affect the crew during these situations. Kevin, got anything to add?
It's a complex problem. You're looking at, you know, tens of thousands of these cubic inches inside of a C-17, for example, and how that, you know, airflow moves through something that really wasn't designed to worry about an airborne threat inside of the aircraft.
So it's safe to say you wouldn't be able to easily work this problem if you didn't have the supercomputing assets, and more importantly, the code that was optimized to run on supercomputing.
And I know another application that's pertinent here is that you're also using supercomputing to evaluate virus treatment candidates or vaccine candidates for coronavirus. Was that a similar situation where you had software applications already in the supercomputing environment that could be relatively quickly applied to this problem?
This one was actually a little bit different. In this case, there was a researcher at the Southwest Research Institute that became under contract with the Army, and his code was set up to run on a desktop workstation, a very small, less powerful computer. On that computer, it took him, you know, several days to weeks to run, you know, a million test runs. With the advantage of the supercomputer, we used our experts to parallelize it, as we'd be able to spread it across thousands of cores on our supercomputer. This allows the program to run orders of magnitude faster, so we can look at, instead of looking at 2 million things over 3 weeks, we can look at 40 million compounds in less than a week. That's the, you know, the advantage of being able to divide this problem, because each problem can run with a different set of variables, but they all run at the same time. It's we'd call an embarrassingly parallel problem in many respects.
Hmm. And in that case, what are you actually modeling in that supercomputing environment? What's the work being done by all that compute?
The work being done in this case is looking at how potential vaccine chemical compounds would adhere to the protein in the coronavirus as a means of, you know, what is the most effective way to develop a vaccine or develop a treatment pattern. What are the best vectors to get it against the COVID virus itself?
And I know you aren't immunologists, but does that kind of work potentially speed up the process of getting to an effective vaccine?
What it allows you to do is eliminate the things that are probably not going to work. So you can get down, you can narrow down your field of actually going to the real test procedure to high probabilities of success in a much, much shorter time frame. It's similar to how we do the same type of work to support weapons engineering you know, what are the possible, what are the most effective designs that may work in a given situation? So we narrow the space down and make the turnaround time faster.
And I understand you all are also involved in some ways in the situation that's unfolding now with the Theodore Roosevelt and Guam and other areas of the Pacific as it relates to coronavirus. Talk me through a little bit of that work that's going on right now.
Okay. In that case, this is a tasking that came to the Army Corps of Engineers and our parent lab, the Engineering Research and Development Center down at Vicksburg, Mississippi, is a parent organization of the Corps of Engineers. And in that case, we helped them take a computer model that looks at disease spread, how people would transmit the disease amongst each other, and then take that code and again, set it up to run instead of on a desktop application, to run it in a supercomputer application. So in this case, we're supporting the work that the Corps of Engineers is doing to support FEMA and some of the other agencies, the government, figuring out how to model the spread of the disease so that it may then take the best measures to mitigate that spread going forward.
Well, let me ask a more general question about supercomputing, just because, you know, I think a lot of people are used to the idea now that if you want a lot of compute capacity, pretty much anyone can get what they want on demand for as long as they want through a cloud service provider. Can you just give me some, you know, some comparative sense of what DoD supercomputing capacity is compared to what, you know, folks could get from a commercial environment like that?
Yeah, so we have in our ecosystem about 21 computers that represent about 1.5 million core hours and about 70 petaflops of compute capacity. So our ecosystem together is fairly large. So in fact, we are embracing the cloud ourselves for cases where A, it makes sense for us to do compute in the cloud, and B, for a surge capability. But the cloud providers that provide true high-performance computing cloud cycles, they're using the same hardware that we are. So for us, it's a little bit of a surge capacity. But I also want to mention the fact that in our ecosystem, we rely heavily on the development of the software and the optimization of the software to make sure they run efficiently on HPC resources. And, you know, that's not a function that the cloud is currently offering. So our intersection of the cloud is going to become greater as time goes on and the cloud HPC environment matures such that they can provide the same compute resources that we can with the optimized codes.
In general, the commercial clouds are optimized for traditional IT workloads, whereas when we design and have our systems built, we're designing them to solve the problems that are important to Department of Defense and things like hypersonics or data analytics, things that are specific DoD type problem sets, which require a different kind of computer architecture to run most efficiently.
Dr. Kevin Neumeier, Deputy Director of the DoD High Performance Computing Modernization Program, along with Dr. Will McMahon, the program's director. They spoke with Federal News Network's Jared Serbu. Check out Jared's story at federalnewsnetwork.com. And stay up to date on your agency's latest responses to coronavirus. Visit our special resources page at federalnewsnetwork.com.